It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Hour is here. Adam Candy alongside. This hour brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. 775 in the north. We are in Reno right now where Battleborne has an office. Four offices here in the southern Nevada area. In the north, 775-766-1400. Let's get to the big four.
Battleborne Injury Lawyers presents the big four at four. Number four.
Candy, what will your Christmas entail, and will it include more NFL or more NBA? Five NBA games, three NFL games.
Look, the NFL can try to infringe on NBA Christmas Day, but it's not happening around here.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, I'll pay attention a little bit, but in the end, I feel like it's one of those things where I grew up with the NBA. I grew up that this is that day, and when I just default in my head to it's Christmas Day, turn on the TV, I'm going to be looking for the NBA marathon. I'm not going to be looking for whatever trash heap Netflix has.
Well, Netflix has two NFL games. Prime, Amazon has one game. These looked like good games, great games on paper, but because of different circumstances, mostly quarterback involved. Well, look at this situation. The day starts off with Dallas now virtually out of the playoff mix against the Commies, the Commanders. No Jaden Daniels the rest of the way. The Lions will take on the Vikings. Vikes are just kind of playing out the string. Lions, it'll be an important game, trying to make the playoffs, depending on where they are, come Christmas Day. And then Denver at the Chiefs. Kansas City, playoff. Nope, no playoff run now, and Pat Mahomes down for the season. Denver will have some seeding concerns going into that one. How about the way this worked out for the National Football League, and you can't flex it?
That just shows what this year has been and what so many years are, Steve, in the NFL. I mean, teams that get fourth place schedules that turn things around and make a year for themselves, then teams that came out of fourth place schedules like last year's Commies that got themselves up high, won a bunch of coin flip games. Well, guess what? Didn't win the coin flip games, didn't have health. They're back at the bottom again next year. It's not a bug, it's a feature of what the NFL wants. If you have a dynasty like the Patriots or the Chiefs, it is 100% the outlier from what the NFL wants to happen.
Exactly. The scheduling is screwy every year, and they just pound the good teams from the year before. That Lions-Vikings game can get spiced up a bit with some of the entertainment. I haven't seen any entertainment announced for the first game of the day or the third game. Pre-game will include Kelly Clarkson singing Christmas songs. Halftime will include Snoop Dogg. And I got to tell you, for me, based on recent trends, I actually think Kelly Clarkson has more street cred left.
Oof.
Snoop has become very much a family man. And I'm trying to think, what was that comedy show that was on NBC that was the most sanitized comedy thing ever? Like, some really good comedians went on there, and I was like, wow, this has been just so sanitized. It's awful. Snoop v. Kelly Clarkson. More excited for which one?
Oh, Cofield, there will never be in this home a discouraging word said about Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah!
I own it with all my heart. I've seen her live three times. Like,
three
I'm,
times!
I'm not,
I've
I'm
seen
not
her
being
once,
shy
three.
About this.
Wow.
It's not like, oh, Adam has a crush on Kelly. No, I've been listening to Kelly Clarkson from day one. I have nothing but positive things to say about the modern day queen of pop music.
I have one thing to say, and this is not, I'm not trying to be mean. Skinny Kelly? I'm not sure.
Healthy, one thing to healthy, say. Okay.
Healthy right. Kelly is probably a good thing. So
healthy.
Healthier.
No, well, here's the thing you got to understand about Kelly Clarkson. Here's what you got to understand. I don't want Kelly Clarkson to be in pain. I want that to be very clear. However,
okay. Wow, where is this going? What?
The better music comes from the unhappy Kelly. The troubled, the relationship hurt Kelly is where you get the good angry, you know, since you've been gone. Yeah. That's where you get all that. Happy Kelly? I don't know. That's probably Happy Kelly Christmas song. So I don't know, man.
Number three.
Well, you're an NBA loyalist. The NBA Cup's in town. So why not, right? Let's kiss the NBA's ass. Please come back to Vegas. Stay here. Five games on Christmas Day. Knicks, Cavs, Spurs, Thunder, rematch. Okay. Mavs, Warriors, Rockets, Lakers, Wolves, Nuggets. That is a banger of five games. Last one goes off at 7:30. First one goes at 9 o'clock in the morning. Let's do it.
The important thing that you have to understand about this, if you're going to try to make it through all five, I mean, God bless you if you are. I'm not going to make it through all five. But the best strategy here is this. You watch the morning game before the family comes over, right? Maybe you finished opening presents, you got your coffee, you sit down, you watch the morning game. Great. Now, strategy comes in. Now it's time for a little food around lunchtime. And I have to say this very clearly so you all understand. Eat to the point of excess to where you feel like you're going to get drowsy. You need to be ready to fall asleep in a comfortable chair because it will allow you to fall asleep in the comfortable chair around the end of game two. You'll wake up somewhere maybe in the end of game three, beginning of game four, and you will have avoided most of the conversation with your family that you don't want to have. And then by the time the last game is coming on, well, you know what? I got to work tomorrow. We probably should get things cleaned up. And then you'll have a little time left at the end of the night for that last game. This is spoken from true experience. If you can pull it off, it's beautiful. It's not always possible, but that's what I wish for you.
Nothing better than using the work excuse. Sports! What can I do? Number two. I gotta watch.
Number two.
Well, I know a lot of people want to watch the World Cup games in the U.S. and Mexico and Canada in person, especially in the U.S. This dynamic pricing sounds a little bit wacky.
Dynamic pricing is such a horrible thing. Whether you're trying to go see Kelly Clarkson or the World Cup, man, like it's pretty brutal. It took many millions of angry fans making their voices heard for FIFA to step back on some of this pricing situation and offer what I'm going to assume are a very limited amount, like McDonald's Monopoly winning pieces amount of $60 tickets to supporters of each team to get into their games, a supporter tier. And God bless all of you who spoke up and expressed your displeasure, but to be made, make one thing very clear, what did you expect? You've been watching FIFA for any length of time? Like, this is not an organization that is here for the fans. This is an organization that is corrupt at every single turn, that is about making money in every possible way, that I believe just gave some sort of weird prize to our president. I'm not really totally sure why, but they will do anything they can to get their hands on a few more dollars. So if you expected something else, are you that new to soccer?
I'm going to make a prediction that in the FIFA boardroom that is all focused on making max profits, do you think there's at least one person who has brought up the suggestion that, hey, listen, we're going to get hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in some of these U.S. cities for these tickets. What if we cut a deal with DJT and ICE to round people up, take their tickets, and then an hour before the game go, big ticket release is available.
That,
double sell the tickets.
That is what we call a true resale market, right? That is not a secondary market. That is a tertiary market. That's the kind of marketing genius that has kept you solvent in this business for three decades, Steve Cofield.
I don't think what ICE is doing is funny, but this is how I deal with it. I am not evil, but I do have an evil... Now, you know what? I was going to say I have an evil money-making mind, but I don't. I haven't been evil enough over the course of my career, but I could see someone at the FIFA offices coming up with that one and floating it across the table. And for a while, they were like, you know, let's table this right now. Let's think about this. Let's see what we want to do. World Cup's a long ways off. Number one.
Number one.
Big 4-4 brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. I like this guy, David Chow, the football doc. I've spoken to him before. I do feel there's something a little odd about guessing at official diagnosis and the results of surgeries to throw out a hot take. Did you see that the doc said Mahomes, we found out, tore the ACL and the LCL? With that being the case, and this is pretty harsh the way he said it, I could see a lot of Arthur shaking fist on social media up on Kansas City socials. With the confirmation that Patrick Mahomes tore both his ACL and LCL, there is no way he is 100% to start the 2026 season. It could even be 2027 before he is fully mobile like before. Wow. Talk about throwing gasoline on a out-of-control fire of anger and sadness in Kansas City.
And don't forget to use the good doctor's promo code for your next Daily Fantasy Sports sign up. Since this isn't being done as a charity.
Is that right? He is tied to fantasy football?
Yes.
Oh no.
There's a product being sold there. I know. Won't anything be pure in sports anymore? The last two things I believed in were FIFA and Dr. Chow.
So what do you think of this? We started to hit on what the plan could be in the offseason. I would plan, if I were Kansas City, and listen, they're going to have the inside information. Mahomes is a freaking workout maniac. He's crazy. But they're going to know. But I would be thinking now, we need a quarterback to get us through at least eight games. And I'm not talking about the Minshew manias of the world. I'm talking about going out and getting a real quarterback. I would even trade draft capital to get someone young. And hell, you know what? If Mahomes is out longer and I got a young guy, I can turn that young guy into something that is tradable after the year. I thought the Patriots did a great job of that in the past. They never really needed guys like Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy G, but they nailed some guys in the draft. Why not go and trade for a good, promising young quarterback? And if Mahomes comes back early, all right, he comes back early. If he doesn't, and we put this guy with the Kansas City offense, imagine the trade value we can get on a quarterback who could be a franchise guy somewhere else.
Well, I think the issue that you're going to deal with here is that this is a Chiefs team that going into next year is in a pretty, pretty bad cap position. You're looking at a team that is right now, this is all fungible. Of course, the Saints showed us this year after year, but they're $43 million over the cap going into next year. There's limited flexibility in terms of what they can do to make this team good. And I think the coincidence of Mahomes getting hurt and being $43 million over the cap is going to give you a one-time-only opportunity, not going to say blow up the roster, but to make some decisions that hurt, to try to make this team better in the long term. The comparison I would make, Cofield, is the random year with the Warriors when Steph Curry got hurt, when it was time to say, okay, we have the number two overall pick. Granted, it didn't exactly work out, but we're going to retool. We're going to come back. We're going to take another run at it, and they did.
So you're saying sign Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Let's do it. Lots of option football.
Yeah.
Run it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, on Tuesdays we go behind the counter with Ray Cleaver from William Hill. You want to download that William Hill mobile account to get up to $250 in bonus bets, and then you can bet from anywhere on the go around the state of Nevada. Great parlays, great parlay boosts, deep wagering menu. Ray Cleaver's up with us here with Adam Candy and Steve Cofield. What's up, Ray?
Hey, how we doing today? Thanks for having me, and ready for a big football end of month.
I'm going to go on a tangent here just to find out what's been going on today, last couple days, with NBA Cup. What sort of interest do you get in a ISO spot here in Las Vegas on the ground with the Spurs and the Knicks?
It's been extremely busy the whole cup, to be honest. A lot of action on them games. We obviously have we lost the Thunder, but with Wemby being there with San Antonio, and the Knicks always have a draw. I think the NBA Cup is, they should do it more often, to be honest. It's kind of funny. When it's over, okay, let's do another one, because the NBA as a whole is such a long season that we don't take the amount of action that we would really love to have on the NBA. But the NBA Cup has been very, very popular.
Ray, I'm sure people have asked you this before. If and say when the NBA comes here, how will the NBA perform with, I guess, the league, but more importantly, the local team, if there was a Vegas team, versus what you get in terms of handle on VGK? What do you think would happen?
I think we're still a hockey team, a hockey town.
Really?
I really do. I think the NBA will be okay, but I think there's a lot of people who still have a bad taste in their mouth of that All-Star experience from a bunch of years ago. I think Las Vegas is getting overexposed in professional sports. I'm probably the only one who's not excited about a baseball team coming and not excited about an NBA team. Hockey and football is fine. I wish we would have gotten an expansion team rather than the Raiders when they came here. I really wish we would have had our team. I think that's part of why the Knights are popular here. I hear people say it all the time. Well, the Knights are Vegas born. They're our team. The Raiders came from elsewhere. And I think they'll feel the same way about the A's coming in and then whatever NBA team happens to come in also.
Ray Cleaver, William Hill is with us here with Candy Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. Hell of a game coming out of the gates on Thursday this week. A lot on the line, the Rams and the Seahawks. Rams on the road, one.
Tell me you don't wish that was a standalone Sunday or Monday night game. Thursday nights, it seems that we never get the best football. They don't have time to recover. We're on a four-day week. If there's anything they could do to change them games from Thursday to a standalone on Sunday night or Monday night, this is the game of the year. It really is. These are the best two teams, have been all year long. I know Seattle didn't play that well on Sunday, but you know they were looking ahead. They just want to run the ball, get out of town, stay healthy, and old man Rivers almost got them. So the Rams just look like everything's gelling. So it'll be an unbelievable game. I can't wait to watch it. I do have a slight lean to the Rams because I think that Darnold proved last year at the end of the season and over the history of his career that when it comes to big games, he'll find a way to make a mistake when he shouldn't, and I think the Rams will take advantage of that.
Ray, we've reached the time of year where college football schedule winds back to open up some spots for the NFL on Saturday, and we got a pretty good one from a matchup that we're doing for the second time in 3 weeks. Green Bay laying 3 at Chicago.
Well, that line's down to 1 now. It's pretty much 1.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, 1 to 1.5 pretty much everywhere. I think with Green Bay's injuries, I think that game will be a pick'em. In fact, it wouldn't stun me if it goes off with the Bears -1 at home on Saturday night. One extra day would have made a difference for Green Bay, I think, with getting healthy. It sounds funny, but in the NFL, you talk to these players, one extra day is a lot of rehab and a lot of help with their injury. So it doesn't surprise me at all that the line is dropping. In fact, I have a slight lean to the Bears in this game. Green Bay is just hurt in all the worst places. Micah Parsons being out is just the one that everybody's talking about. But they lost Zach Tom, their offensive lineman, who is $95 million man. They paid him. He's terrific. He's probably out. They lose Christian Watson, who I've said for a long time is made of plastic. He gets hurt more than any player I've seen. And I think the Bears are gelling right now, and I think, you know, they only lost to Green Bay by 7 at Lambeau. I think if I have a play here, though, it's on the under. It's going to be extremely cold there Saturday night in the darkness of Chicago, right on the lakefront. The total's 46.5, and I don't know how they're going to get there.
Also on Saturday, right, I'm a little surprised by this, but maybe you can explain it to me in a way that I'll get. Philly opened 5.5 at the no Jaden Daniels Commanders, seeing now 4.5 on the board. I know we're not talking key numbers here, but what do you see going on there?
Well, I don't see a 4.5 right now. I see a lot of 6.5s.
Okay. I am looking at the wrong place on the board. That's my fault.
That's okay. It's going the way of Philadelphia. It's always a little scary with Philly when they go on the road, I admit. But Washington looks like they're ready to surrender. They got their big win this week against the Giants. So, you know, they took care of business. Philly will be Philly. They'll up it at the end of the year. They're all happy now. They all scored touchdowns. All the prima donnas on the team will get going. Sirianni got rid of that stupid Easter bunny in the locker room and turned into an NFL team. So if you can guess what kind of game Philly's going to give you, you're better than I am. But I'd have to play Philly or nothing in this game.
I wonder what bettors think of the Patriots coming out of that collapse against the Bills. The Ravens are favored against the Patriots, and it's ticking upwards, is it not?
Yes, it is. The Ravens have been scary. People just think all year long the Ravens are the scary team. Like, they're going to be the, you know, they'll turn it on come playoff time. And I think the only advantage Baltimore has in this game is the fact they're home. New England losing to Buffalo, the only thing they should feel bad about is they had the game. They were ahead 24-7 at half, 21-0 early. But, you know, it's the NFL. When you quit, you lose. And they just couldn't move the ball and couldn't stop anybody.
Rick Cleaver, William Hill is with us. All right, what are we looking at with the division battle between the Bucs and the Panthers?
Yeah, the Panthers are kind of like the psycho relative at Christmas. You don't know what you're going to get. They go to Green Bay, they win. They beat the Rams at home, and then they get swept by the Saints. I really don't know what you're going to get out of Carolina. They scare me. You just don't know what you're going to get. And it wouldn't shock me a bit if they win this game and win it easily.
Reminder again.
That's the kind of team Carolina is.
Sorry, Ray. Reminder again, a great parlay boost all over William Hill. And right now they've got a bunch of them up for the Thursday tilt. That game is the Rams and the Seahawks, Stafford and Darnold. Each pass for 250-plus yards. You can get about 4-1 on that one. Kyren Williams, 90 yards rushing and receiving combined, and a touchdown. You can get that at about 4-1. So go check out every day. They're adding more parlay boost. More NFL from Sunday. Boy, I have no read on Kansas City and Minshew mania and what that team is going to be feeling now that they're out of the playoffs. Holy moly. Taking on Tennessee, and the number is actually going down. It's 3.5 now.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people who say just it's Tennessee or nothing in this game because, I mean, Kansas City got old in a hurry. I mean, they just did. They got old in a hurry, and I don't know. I can't bet Kansas City. I'm walking in the window with either Tennessee or nothing. Kansas City wins the game, fine, but I think they're just going to cash it in for these 3 weeks and try to rebuild for next season.
What do you think? Is the bottom going to fall out a little bit here on the Chargers after a big win, eliminating their chief rival, pun intended, out of the playoffs? Dallas is now 2 against LAC.
Yeah, but people forget the Chargers also beat the Eagles the week before. Everybody expected them to go to Kansas City after beating the Eagles and were beat up, and then they go into Kansas City and they win that one too. I'm not stopping them. I think they're motivated. I think they're the right team to make a charge here at the end of the season. Everybody just remembers if they had a different uniform right now, I think people would have them a hot lot higher rated than they are. The problem is they're the Chargers, and through history, we've seen the Chargers just fall apart.
Yep, charger
it
up.
Chargers in that game.
Okay, let's look briefly at what's happening with the CFP games. Where are we now with Alabama and Oklahoma?
Yeah, Alabama's still a small favorite, one. Could be a reputation play. They've shown nothing for 5 weeks. Oklahoma's defense is absolutely the best defense in college football. I don't know if I like Oklahoma to score enough points because Mateer hasn't been the same since his injury, but I can't bet on Alabama the way they've looked over the last 5 weeks.
Right, last one. I got like 20 seconds. Are we getting any bites, any real sharp money taking the dogs with Tulane, a dog against Ole Miss, and JMU against Oregon?
A little bit of JMU against Oregon. I think they're figuring that JMU will be so excited to play, and going into Autzen will be exciting for them. There has been a little bit of sharp money on JMU, but Tulane, no, not at all.
Ray, thank you, man. That was a great spot. We appreciate it.
Great day, guys.
There he is, Ray Cleaver. For college football, make sure you get up to William Hill. Download the mobile app. $250 available in bonus bets. There are great parlay boosts, and we're talking FCS parlay boost as well. So if you're a hardcore FCSer, get involved. Why not, right? And basketball is going. College basketball is here, so you can bet that as well at William Hill.
This fall, get in the game and earn cash for betting sports with the William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports app on your phone or tablet. During William Hill's Fall Rewards, earn up to $500 cash back. Between now and December 31st, you'll be eligible for cash back points for every wager made, win or lose, on the William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports app. Earn even more cash back points for teasers and same-game parlay wagers made on the app. To enroll in Fall Rewards, opt in, and to see participating locations, visit williamhill.us. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's holiday time at Godin Ford. Shoppers trade in unwanted cars for the best present of the year. A brand new Ford. From the rugged F-150 to the stylish Explorer and the efficient Escape. Godin Ford delivers unbeatable choices. Right now, enjoy 0% financing for 60 months, zero down payment, and zero payments for 90 days. They're the home of the triple zeros. Visit Godin Ford off 215 and Rainbow. On select Ford models, excludes tax, title, and license fees. Drive into the new year with Godin Ford.
Hi, this is Paul Pata. This holiday season, the entire family at Paul Pata Law wants you to know that no matter what life throws your way, we've got you covered.
The Vegas Lawyers for criminal and DUI defense.
BestImmigrationLawyers.com. Up to date in the constant change of immigration law.
No matter what your legal needs are, this holiday season, we've got you covered all under one roof. From the family at Paul Pata Law, happy holidays.
At no cost to you, the Weatherization Assistance Program at HELP of Southern Nevada can reduce utility costs for low-income families by improving the energy efficiency of their homes. After an energy audit of your home, weatherization measures may be installed at no cost, including solar screens, weather stripping and caulking, new insulation, low-flow shower heads, energy-efficient light bulbs, and repairing or replacing broken windows, doors, hot water heaters, air conditioning units, and refrigerators. A healthier, more energy-efficient home has lower power bills, and these weatherization services are at no cost to you. To find out if you qualify, call 702-795-0575. That's 702-795-0575. Help of Southern Nevada Weatherization Program, 702-795-0575. Program participation based on income requirements. This message sponsored by Help of Southern Nevada, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
Plumbers, HVAC techs, contractors, and DIYers, McFadden-Dale Industrial Hardware has the tools, parts, and supplies to power your next project. Open early and stocked with everything you need. Stop by South Decatur near Russell. McFadden-Dale Industrial Hardware, fast, easy, and built for the pros.
Patty Davidson here from BetMoneyHoney.com. Would you like to become an educated sports fan that also knows how to place a bet? How about a library of how games are played, how to make bets, and hot picks of the day? Join me at BetMoneyHoney.com.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, rolling towards the NBA Cup here in Vegas. On ESPN Las Vegas, Adam Candy, Cofield, ESPN Reno in as well. This part of the show every day from 4 to 5 is brought to you by our friends at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. That's the number from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Dial 775-766-1400 in the north. They are local. They are our attorneys. We have used them. Almost everyone on the show has leaned on Justin and Matt and company at Battleborn. So they are to be trusted, and you hear them every Wednesday. Justin will be back with us tomorrow. So I opened the show, Candy, with the news that UNLV football is expecting a return from Anthony Calandria. He told Fox 5 that yesterday during media availability. Sounds like Jet Thomas is back. That's a quarterback and a running back for Dan Mullen. If that is the case, that makes the job easier in terms of the portal. They don't have to go out and get a starting quarterback. I don't know that they have the guy on the roster yet behind them. They have some decent young prospects at quarterback. I will guarantee you they were going to add some running backs. And I think they will probably try to add someone as good, if not better, than Jet Thomas. And that's not a slight on Jet Thomas. You need multiple running backs in this system. Across football, it's going to be real interesting to see who's going to go portaling, who's going to go to the NFL. I want to get to Arch Manning here in a second, but your reaction, even with the portal, you know, it opens up on January 2nd. It goes to January 16th. So I want to keep that out there. You never know. Right, you never know. Calandria did say himself, hey, I'm not interested in going. You never know. But what's your impression of the quarterback and the running back coming back?
Well, on the surface, Steve, one thing you don't hear in the portal era ever is an early announcement of I'm staying.
Yeah.
Right? Guys tend to leave their market open as long as possible. Even if they are planning to come back, you're going to play the game. You're going to see what else is out there. And you know, we're not going to blame a guy like Jaden Maiava for making the decision that he did. Same thing could happen with Calandria. Same thing could happen with Thomas. But I think it speaks well of Dan Mullen and UNLV's ability to come up with money for its guys that you have a couple of guys out there announcing that they want to stay. And hopefully the trickle-down effect of that is that as we get closer to transfers actually happening, that you're sending a signal out there to other players in the market that if you come to UNLV, we've got this in place. We had a very good offense this year. We've got the offense set. And to me, if I'm sending that message out to anybody, it's to any elite defensive recruit out there.
Yeah.
Because I don't expect it to be a Texas Tech level investment in the defense for UNLV this coming year, but it's pretty obvious that that's where the money needs to go.
Well, you know, the other thing with Calandria and Thomas, and we talk about using NIL budget to shore up the defense and figure out what they're going to do at DC, if it's Paul Gunther or someone else. This, to me, is also a clear message, if they are in the fold, that this stuff has already been discussed about their future in terms of NIL here, right? That Calandria is probably getting enough in promises to make him happy where he's like, you know what, I could be getting a lot more elsewhere, but the gap is not as big as a lot of people think it is. I often see up on social media, and this all goes back to our public hearings, which I don't know why we do this. I understand, I guess these things have to be done, but I don't understand the line of questioning at times from the Northern Regents when they questioned Eric Harper about Dan Mullen's salary, and Eric Harper said, you know, well, paraphrase, like, we don't have the money on hand to pay it out, nor does anyone else in the group of six. These are monies that you will make that are donated that could be coming from shares of bowl appearances, conference, rev sharing. That stuck with people, and I often hear, and I see it more often than that, poverty school. Trust me, things have never been better with UNLV in terms of the funding. Hell, Jeff Choate was complaining about it just 2 weeks ago. On the way back, I do want to get to Arch Manning, going back to Texas, what it means for the NFL, what it means for the draft, and what it means for the Raiders.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Adam Candy's here. It's ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Reno. Candy, did you have a follow-up comment? We had to go to break abruptly there. Not that we were surprised by it, but we ran out of time. On UNLV and funding and NIL for football?
The biggest thing is what you said, and I kind of referenced in what I was getting at there, was the fact that if you've got two key players on your roster saying in mid-December that they're staying, someone has already talked to them about money. Mm-hmm. And if they're having that conversation now with players currently on their roster, then they're obviously having players, formal or informal conversations about who will join them.
Now the question that'll be really interesting is what does Camp Orji do? Alex Orji, who, you know, was a pretty ballyhooed transfer in from Michigan and tore his knee. Does he stay around? He has some value. Is there more of a hybrid position available to Alex Orji, where he could be? Not that Calandra is not a great runner. He is. He had over 600 yards and I think it was 8 touchdowns running. Could Orji be? I'm trying to think of a role where he could be sort of an H-back quarterback. Who's the BYU kid? I always blank on his name. Who's like 38 years old, who's on the Saints?
Oh, you're talking about Taysom Hill?
Yeah, could he be a Taysom Hill type? Right? Could he be? I'll give you this one. UNLV down the stretch, Corey Dennis and Dan Mullen offensively started running some direct snaps to wide receivers and running backs where Calandria would go and split out. Could that be Orji, or would it telegraph it too much? But that would be interesting if Orji was actually split out on direct snaps. Could Orji be the direct snap recipient and Calandria's split out?
You know more about the health situation than I do when it comes to Alex Orji, and that will go a long way to determining what sort of offer might be out there for the kid, because someone who was a potential starting quarterback at Michigan just a couple of years ago is probably not just going to accept a hybrid role at UNLV if the money is right for him to have a shot somewhere else, I would think.
Football playing schools in the Mountain West next year. We know the Disloyal Five are on their way out. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Utah State. They're gone. The conference will look like this on the football front. Air Force, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, Northern Illinois, San Jose State, UNLV, UTEP, and Wyoming. This is what happens on social media. Anthony Calandri and Jet Thomas are probably back for UNLV. They better win this conference! Like, oh, okay. All right. No excuse as to how they don't win the conference. Relax. We don't have to turn a positive into a negative angle. Relax, Candy. Not going to spell it like Aaron Rodgers, but let's all calm down.
Pretty calm. I think they could win the conference, but I'm not going to throw things if they don't.
I'm not going to call them the favorite until I know what other schools have and if UNLV can rebuild the defense. I think they have a lot of good young building blocks, but we'll see who goes in the portal, who comes in from the portal, what is happening at defensive coordinator, what happens with the rest of the coaching spots. We'll see if there's some stability there. So, we know at Texas there's going to be some stability. This is not a surprise to me on a couple of fronts. I'll throw it to you. Is Arch Manning NFL ready? And there's a couple of layers to that, but is he NFL ready right now?
No. That's the short version. And if you have another layer, you're welcome to throw it in there, but all I need to do is read you the box score against an NFL caliber defense in terms of its prospects that we just saw out of Arch Manning. And you'll understand why he is in no way ready. Versus Texas A&M, 14 of 29 for 179 yards for Arch Manning. And the accuracy problems were there all year long. And if there's one single thing that he has to work on going into next year, it's that.
Yeah, I'll give you another layer here, because he would be a high pick, if not the number one pick in the draft. This is what the Manning family was analyzing for Arch Manning if he went to the NFL. Number one pick, the Giants. Two is the Raiders. Three, the Titans. Four, the Browns. Five, the Jets. Six, the Cardinals. I'm going to say right out of the gate that I believe if Arch Manning came out, I don't think Jackson Dart would be a Giant. What do you think?
I think Jackson Dart's a Giant. I don't think Eli has that pull within the Giants organization at this point. And Arch Manning right now is what? If he comes out QB, what, 8, 9, 10? How low down the board do you think he is? Because the NFL is no longer in the business of developmental prospects. Like, you don't get the year to sit on the bench and grow. And Arch Manning showed flaws this year that are real, and they are not spectacular. And you will have to bring him along in a way that a market like New York doesn't do. But beyond that, Cofield, to what you're saying, I am offended at the suggestion that the Mannings might try to manipulate the location of where one of the members of their family lands. They would never do that.
Never happened. Yep. Never happened.
It never has happened.
Yep. Except with Elway and the Mannings. If you're looking at the board and you're looking at Arch could go to the Raiders, the Titans. Check that. The Raiders, the Browns. Titans have Cam Ward. Raiders, Browns. Well, Browns have Shedeur Sanders. Stop. Raiders, Browns, Jets, Cardinals. I think I'd go back to Texas.
100%.
Unless TB12 could get the Manning family on the phone and make the hard pitch to change minds. But I don't think that's going to happen. Plus, he doesn't do that because he's not an integral part of the decision-making process with the Raiders.
No, not at all. And I can't imagine that that the Manning family wouldn't want to have a say in who is the head coach that would be getting Arch Manning. And I cannot imagine that 75-year-old Pete Carroll coming off a meandering, seemingly clueless season is the guy that they want getting Arch.
That said, even though they have the history of orchestrating where Eli landed, you don't really have that much control. I couldn't even begin to make a prediction who will be the worst team next year. There is a good chance that a lot of these teams are awful once again. So you could be facing the same exact thing.
There's always the possibility, right? But there is a unique level of dysfunction at the top of the draft this year. If you go down the line here,
yes,
Giants, Raiders, Titans, Browns, Jets, just take that top five, and you are describing the five most dysfunctional organizations in the entirety of the National Football League. And I don't think it's particularly close right now. I'm not sure I'm missing anybody who absolutely needs to be added into that group now that Danny Boy Snyder is no longer in Washington. So if you're Arch Manning, that in particular, whether it's the right move for you where you are in your skill set right now, do you want to go into any of these purgatories where you might have to go? And I'm not taking the Titans out of that, because if you just want to go by the numbers, Cam Ward hasn't been half of Jackson Dart this year.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a sure thing that if there were a grade A quarterback prospect, that Cam Ward would be safe in Tennessee. But I do think he's safe given what's in this quarterback class.
Well, every organization on this list is going down pretty far. If they've got a young quarterback, year two of that young quarterback could be a freaking disaster. Like, Dart could be a disaster. I'm not trying to root against your Giants. The Raiders could very well be a 4 or 5 win team max next year. Cam Ward could be a disaster. I don't know what the Browns are going to do. I would assume they're going to take a quarterback in this draft, but if they don't and it's Shedeur, he could be a nightmare. The Cardinals are very much in no man's land right now because they don't seem to want Kyler Murray anymore. Let's also say Tyler Shuck another year. Maybe that doesn't work out. Maybe the Mannings would be cool with, hey, you know what? Hometown, New Orleans, let's resurrect the Saints, let's be the saviors. I'll give you another one. I don't want to write him off, but is Jaden Daniels ever going to be healthy again? The commies could look up next year and go, you know what? We can't believe this, but this hasn't worked out.
What we have to start thinking about with Jaden Daniels is Tua Tagovailoa, because we're dealing with the same thing. It's not the concussions, right? But it is the slight frame and the injuries. And are you ever going to see the high-level play on a consistent basis that you did based on, you ever going to be able to stay on the field long enough? I'm certainly not writing him off this quickly. I still think Jaden Daniels can be an A-plus quarterback in this league, but it's the same as Tua. He's got to be actually on the field to do it.
Arch Manning going back to Texas. We're looking at what he's passing up in the NFL, all these fine organizations. Okay, now I'm going to devil's advocate myself. There are positives with many of these organizations. I'm going to go down to number 10. I'm going to go through each organization. The Giants have positives, okay? I don't like Joe Shane, but they do have stable ownership. I don't always love Mara, but they do have some talent. They're headed in the right direction. I think the Raiders' biggest positive, if he is running the organization, I think Tom Brady does hold some sway, so probably some convincing would work. Tennessee may get a coach who's very attractive to Arch Manning. Hell, down the road, next year could be a package deal. Maybe Sark and Arch Manning are in Titanland. I'm going to leave the Browns on the side for now. I do actually think the Jets have some positive. They are building an offensive line. They do have a young talent core. They do draft the right way for the most part. Boy, the Cardinals are a hard sell. What I'm trying to do is get to number nine, and that's Cincinnati. I think that would be the one organization. If Joe Burrow wasn't there and they had high picks, if I were the Manning family, I'd probably send Arch back for another year. I'm not going to Cincinnati and Mike Brown. Ever. 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 Candy, ever.
7 points away from a Super Bowl victory.
Yep.
Just a handful of years ago. Everything you need in place. Everything. This team had literally everything you need in place. And they have managed, yes, Joe Burrow's health is part of this, but they have derped it away in so many other facets, whether it's kicking Lou Anarumo to the curb, whether it's refusing to see that the shine is off Zach Taylor, whether it's screwing around with T. Higgins' contract extension, whether it's allowing the line in front of Joe Burrow to become a disaster. All of these things reek of Bengals. And if it reeks of Bengals, yeah, if I'm the Arch Manning conglomerate, the Arch Manning Corporation, I'm not sending him there. I'm not sending him to Camp Orgy.
I wonder, as time moves along, there was some weirdness with second round picks in this last draft after they were selected. God almighty, I can't forget. Someone signed early and got guaranteed money, and then in the second round. And then everyone else in the second perked up and are like, oh, well, I like that. Let's do that. Keep in mind, the Bengals also had trouble signing Shamar Stewart. Could we have an NFL, pre-NFL draft 6 weeks or so where every single decent prospect backed by every smart, knowing, knowledgeable agent says, you know what, Bengals? We ain't working out. We ain't taking visits. Like, could that be the one organization that is just shut out from seeing people?
Are you going to take a hard stance on that with the Bengals, that actually a team that has pieces in place where your player could go and win? Or are you going to do that with something like Cleveland or even the Raiders, where it doesn't seem possible at all?
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
NBA Cup is coming up here on ESPN Las Vegas. Adam Candy is with us. We got some hoopage to talk about. We've also got a little more on the Raiders. Disappointing news at Arch Manning. We kind of knew this was going to happen. Arch Manning going back to Texas. I want to build on the Arch Manning thing and talk about NFL coaching openings potentially. We know some jobs are already open, but I saw a good list of predictions, which I think Candy's going to really enjoy. CFP is back on Friday. We got one game on Friday, three on Saturday. I love this tournament. If people want to whine about the inclusion of the little guy, that's for you. As I've said before, I love America. I love upside. I love opportunity. If you're one of these big wigs in college football and you hate America, then good for you. You know, leave. No, isn't that what we do? If you got a complaint, right? Leave. Get out. Go to another country where they play college football. There is ACC news in, and part of me is like, this is a fake Pat 40. But I think it's the real Pat 40. I went to the Twitter machine, and I needed to freshen up a couple of stories. I'm like, let's see what's breaking in terms of news and commentary the last 2 hours. It's Candy, it's Cofield, ESPN Las Vegas. Pat 40 says the ACC for football is going with a combo platter football schedule in 2026. Do you like combo platters?
Just had one the other day. It had quesadilla, flautas, nachos. Fantastic. But I didn't have to shove like Duke and NC State down my throat.
I don't like combo platters. I think they're overpriced and oftentimes the food isn't hot. So I'm going to go with that same thought process. I don't like combo platters, like you said. I don't want Duke being shoved down my throat. Okay. The combo platter in football means the ACC will have 12 teams playing 9 league games. 5 will play 8 league games. Excuse me. What's happening?
We learned nothing.
What's happening?
We learned absolutely nothing in the ACC. We have produced an inequitable schedule again.
Oh, my God.
Inequitable scheduling is what led to a 5-loss team winning your league and you being put at the mercy of the committee to get a team in. And yet here you go again, making it so that not everyone is playing the same amount of conference games. Brilliant work.
Yeah, Pat Forty, who's a college football guy for SI, says this is a transition year schedule per the ACC in 2027. 16 teams will play 9 league games. So there you go. It'll all be good in 2027. Or the ACC won't exist, and the whole thing will be blown up, and I don't know. There's a big 40, there's a big 60, there's a big 80. I don't know. But that's the deal there. Okay. On the Arch Manning and the Manning family scanning the NFL, right? Hey, what organization's going to work? We want to operate. They haven't said this, but certainly it's within their ability to do so. We want to kind of limit the clubs that can get Arch Manning like we did with Eli back in the day. I mentioned earlier, hey, after this year at Texas, now here's the troubling part. I don't think Tennessee is going to bring in a one and done. But what if Sark and Arch were a package next year, right? Okay, well, we like this coach, so that makes us happy. Can we take a guess at some of these NFL jobs that are open? I saw a fella put together a list. I think this is very trolly, but you know what? I'm going to bite. I'm going to play along. Coaches fired. Cardinals with Johnny Gannon. Falcons, Raheem Morris. Giants will not retain Mike Kafka. Jets get rid of Aaron Glenn. Okay. Raiders move on from Pete Carroll. Steelers move on from Mike Tomlin. The Titans are still looking for a coach because Mike McCoy is not going to retain the job. Coaches hired. The Falcons will hire Joe Brady, the Bills' offensive coordinator. Tell me when to stop when it gets absurd. Steelers bring in the Jags OC, Grant Udinski. The Titans, do you want to jump in?
I just want to be clear here.
Yes.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, who've had 3 coaches in the last 60 years, are going to hire the Jacksonville OC, yes, under a first-year head coach.
Yes.
I just want to be clear about this. Uh-huh. Not that Mike Tomlin was a known commodity when he was brought in, but okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll keep going because I have more to say about the Steelers, but we'll go on.
The Titans will go with Matt Nagy, the Chiefs OC.
Oh, Matt Nagy. Yeah, okay. That worked out well the first time.
Might get you. In Kansas City, they've been talking about Matt Nagy, like getting rid of him as the OC. So they'd welcome this. Okay. From there, Mike Tomlin lands with the Jets. Via a trade, the Jets will trade a 2026 second rounder and a 2027 third rounder. Jets are back, baby. Mike Tomlin is in the fold. At least he wins every year. He's above 500. The Jets could only pray for that. Let's go.
Okay. So someone needs to tell me. I need to hear something about why you fire Mike Tomlin that is a lot better than what I've heard so far. Because
you get a second and a third.
I have been sitting through. No, you hire him. The Jets should run to that deal.
Of course, yes.
Are you kidding me? The Jets should run screaming in the direction of that deal and take it before it comes off the table. I have watched Joe Judge. I have watched Pat Shurmur. I have watched Brian Daboll. I have watched a parade of Ben McAdoos walk in and out the door for the New York Giants. But I'm supposed to look at the Steelers and say, they never seem to do any better than 9-8. I guess he only kind of milks them to the playoffs every year and then they never go anywhere. The man has won Super Bowls. The man has won Super Bowls. I know they were not recent, but tell me the last time that team was bad, and tell me the last time that Mike Tomlin was dealing with anything that looked like a functional quarterback. He had the corpse of Roethlisberger back there at the end of that part of his career, and then he's taking guys like Duck Hodges and winning games. The man is unimpeachable in terms of character, with the exception of the one time he tried to trip a guy running a kickoff back. But hey, we can forget about that because he had a pretty good record otherwise. Mike Tomlin does not deserve to lose his job. It's ridiculous that we're talking about him in the same vein as the rest of this group.
On the list of predictions of coaches fired and then coaches hired, next up, apparently the Raiders, I guess, didn't want in on the Mike Tomlin trade, which I, for a second and a third, they probably should be in on that if that were to happen. Raiders would bring in the... I mean, this is just trolling, unless the person forgot. Anyway, they would bring in the Commies OC, Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm here for that. I'm so here for that. Listen, I bet you, like, Cliff still has, like, some tickets from the casino that he didn't cash from the last time that he was going to come here. Back when he was just going to run the offense, yeah. Right? Like I bet he still has some credit that he can cash in down at the casino.
And to remind everyone, Cliff Kingsbury was lined up to be the OC, but they told him, we can't give you a 3-year deal. I don't know if they verbalized this part because the head coach only has a 2-year deal. That does not reflect well upon an organization. And then AP lasted 1 year, new life for Cliff Kingsbury. He's been a little hamstrung this year with Jaden Daniels' injury. Okay, so Raiders have Cliff Kingsbury. I haven't gotten to the Giants yet.
I know you haven't.
Please pull the microphone back. We don't have a limiter.
I'm doing it right now.
Here it is. Farther away from me. My earphones are still right here, though. Go for it.
The Giants will bring in Patriots offensive coordinator.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Josh.
No.
Josh McDaniels.
I'm just one man, Steve Cofield. There's only so much I can take.
You hardly do the show anymore. Why would I do this to you?
Oh, God.
See you in a month.
You're trying to make sure I don't come back. You're trying to get rid of me once and for all to say that the Giants, who tried the Patriot way with Joe Judge, are going to dip back into the well with Josh McDaniels. Oh, that's just gorgeous, man. That's just gorgeous. All right, I'll see you in February. Yeah. That's fine.
Sorry. Get on the blood pressure or medication right now. Just one man's opinion, and that gentleman is generally a troll.
Steve Cofield.
It was not me. I didn't know.
He wrote the list.
No, there's wait. Where's the count?
That's why he has the Jets getting Mike Tomlin, because he wrote the list.
I didn't write.
I got to take Josh McDaniels, but the Jets are getting Mike Tomlin.
I didn't write the list.
Mike Tomlin looks at Woody Johnson and says, "That's my guy. Give me the Jets."
The NBA is coming up on ESPN Las Vegas, the NBA Cup. ESPN is a full bore partner along with three others covering the NBA, so they'll have the game tonight. I don't know if you've had the TV on in the background. I didn't know this was going down today. This wouldn't be must-see TV for me. And this is not to say I don't like ESPN's programming, because I'm fine with it. I watch some of the morning shows. The evening and afternoon shows I don't get to watch because I'm getting ready for this show and I'm on the air. L. Duncan has been a staple of the afternoon programming. She's moving on. I don't know what her role is going to be, but I'm fascinated that Netflix has dubbed her the face of their sports coverage. I don't know if that means she's doing show like sports talk shows, if she's just opining a lot during hosting lead-ins for games. I don't know what her role is going to be. I know she does a podcast. Every once in a while, you'll get that as a filler here when we have a transition between live play-by-play, and I'll just stop talking. You don't need to know all the stuff. L. Duncan is leaving, and they did a kind of a big tribute today, and I was looking up at TVs here in the studio, and she did a farewell message. I want to know what you think of this. And I will apologize in advance if you're like, who's L. Duncan? Why are these guys talking about the media like it deserves to be covered like the sports world? But there are a lot of people who seem to like this stuff. The broadcast rumors and movement and infighting and firings and all that. Quote, L. Duncan said, I see the headlines. As she talks about ESPN. She gets set to leave for Netflix. I see the headlines. Some are earned. Some, I believe, are not. But the faces of this place are not the soul of this place. I think that's shots fired. I don't think they're strays. I think they're intentional shots fired. What do you think she's saying about ESPN and the faces of this place are not the soul of this place?
I think my next thing would be to say, if you're going to take those kind of shots on the way out the door, then let's name names.
Let's do it.
Who are the faces of ESPN? Who are they? Is it Scott Van Pelt? Is it Stephen A. Smith?
I think you nailed it. I totally agree. She hates Scott Van Pelt, and even more so, Stanford Steve. Okay. Mystery solved. That's it. Hate those guys. Say it, L. Yeah, I don't think that's who she's talking about. Although SVP is a face. I wouldn't say he's the face of the place.
Yeah, I think Stephen A. and Patty Boy McAfee are definitely in the crosshairs there.
Shay,
I can see where she's coming from.
Shay Pepler getting shots.
How could she say this about Trevor Maddich?
You know what's funny? You and I might be the only ones who know Trevor Maddich.
Yeah.
I like him. He is always put in that late night, fill the back end of the college football day. And while he appears to be getting more and more Zavtig, the former lineman for BYU, right? I think he's funny. I think he's very good. And you know what? I will go on a quick tangent here. I do hate the fact that when people talk about ESPN, they talk about it like it's a monolith, right? And like everyone there is the same. Like they're not all the same. Stop doing that. That's a great example. Like Stanford Steve and Trevor Maddich are not Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith or, you know, former folks there that people love to beat the hell out of, Jamel Hill. Everyone's got a different role. Everyone's got a different opinion. Everyone's got a different approach. Everyone's got a different style, different delivery. Relax.
Can't believe she did this to Zubin Mehenti.
I got thoughts about everyone. I think Zubin might have some health things that he's dealing with. I just wish, because I think this way, I'm very judgmental. I just wish he would trim up the hair to more of a 2025 style and not something from 1978. It's just the little things. But I don't think she was going after Zubin Mehenti.
No, I don't think, that was the case.
As one of the faces either. Who are not truly the soul of ESPN.
No, and nor did L just happen to be watching UCF at Utah in a Big 12 battle at the end of the season and think Trevor Maddich really chaps my behind.
He doesn't represent me.
Look, ESPN National has leaned into a very different way of going about things, right? Like the journalism era of ESPN is over. It's no longer about the Dan Lebatards and the Woody Pages and the Tony Kornheisers. Yeah, PTI is still there, but that's not really the kind of show they're doing anymore. It is take culture, it is take personality. That's what sells right now. It is Stephen A. and Pat McAfee, and that's what's going to be there. And L wants something different. Go where the money is,
right? Yeah. The money right now is with Amazon and Netflix, and they're trying to make their forays into sports. You see that someone like Carissa Thompson, like Taylor Rooks, like people who've been with the bigger broadcast networks are going to the streaming spots now and being part of their coverage. Now, what is it going to be for L. Duncan? It's the same thing we said about Amazon a couple of years ago. We didn't know that Amazon was going to have Thursday Night Football. Yep. We didn't know they were going to have the NBA. Who knows what's next for Netflix now? They got a couple of Christmas Day NFL games. So you know, stay tuned, I guess, is the right words. But I don't blame anybody if they're saying, hey, look, I came here at a different time. This place doesn't represent what it did when I got here, and I want something different. That doesn't go for ESPN. It goes for anybody.
I'll also say it's very difficult for women in sports to be the face of anything. Not many have been given an opportunity, and when they are given the opportunity, they seem to be just kind of skewered very strongly from in-house and outside of house because there are so many listeners and viewers who just don't want to see women as leads on sports. So I hope she does well. I hope she does well. I hope she gets a fair chance. I'm intrigued by what Netflix is going to do. I think I know you've been watching probably more NBA than I have. I've heard the Amazon NBA coverage with their round table and their collection of former players that it's been pretty good so far, that they've unearthed some pretty good talents. So
yeah, you got some good personalities, right? Like that's the thing. It's not about just finding, look, why does inside the NBA work? Because you have a combination of talent and experience. What you have with the prime that I've seen so far is you get guys with personality. Blake Griffin, you might not like the guy, but Blake Griffin has a discernible personality. Udonis Haslam is unk. He is OG unk. Like that is what he is there for. And then you've got likable, affable Dirk, you know, going around there. You've got a group that works, right? It's a different personality than inside the NBA, but just make it something friendly. Just make it conversational. Just make it feel like I'm part of a discussion that I just happen to drop in on, not a bunch of people preaching at
me. Do you trust Blake Griffin more on his NBA knowledge or his knowledge of home decor?
Well, he's being educated by Kelly Clarkson. And so because of that, I trust that Blake Griffin has just what I need.
I don't know who he does the commercials for. Could it be Wayfair? I'll give them the free pop.
I'm not giving the free plug. I'm just saying.
It may have sunk in.
I'm just saying Blake Griffin has every style every day.
But okay. Yeah. I mean, I see stuff and I'm like, hey, Blake likes it. I like that too now. Why not? Yeah. NBA Cup tonight. Unicorn is in place. They pulled the upset. The Spurs did on OKC. I see a big tumble here for OKC. I think 67 wins. Yeah, it's probably the max they're going to do. I keep hearing from certain people that the Spurs really aren't a player yet until they surround Wemby with more good players. Can we let him be healthy? And he's got some young guys around him who are either pretty damn good already or developmental. I think the Spurs can be extremely dangerous the rest of the way. This year. This is not a three-year project. Am I wrong?
No, but I'm in the camp who said he's here now. Wemby's here now. Go get more help. And maybe I wasn't fair to the De'Aaron Fox trade and what I think a guy like De'Aaron Fox can be, right? You've got Vassell, you've got Castle, you've got some guys who can play around Wemby, and you don't need any more than what you saw against the Thunder to know that, because Victor Wembanyama played 20 minutes and the Spurs have announced he's only going to play 20 minutes tonight in this NBA Cup final game against the Knicks. So yes, I think there are young guys, and you can slow play it if you want to, if you're the Spurs. And Oklahoma City, even though you just beat them, is exactly the reason why you can slow play it. I wouldn't have said this at the beginning of the year. I said, it's wide open, Spurs, go get someone, go get help. But I don't think we're going too far to say that it's the OKC Invitational. And even if we start to see a little fall off from Oklahoma City, this is what makes them so ridiculous. They have such a stockpile of draft picks and cap flexibility that they can go get anything they need or anything they want to try to augment a run this year. And I don't think there's a serious number two team in the league at this moment.
That wets the whistle a bit about what's going to be in this draft. It's a pretty damn good draft at the top. So do you trade away picks? It's It's going to be really interesting to see the teams that have stockpiled picks. Your Knicks, 18-7 on the season. Are you happy? It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I happy about the Knicks at a time when I'm just hoping not to watch Jackson Dart get concussed again before the end of the year as a Giants fan? Yeah. I mean, I can see the forest for the trees here. Knicks are 18-7. I think the signs that you look for with the Knicks are Josh Hart is shooting the ball extremely well, and he is no longer Draymond Green, the offensive end for the Knicks. That's number one. Number two is the fact that you can see Mike Brown standing there on the sidelines. As soon as a defensive rebound comes into the hands of a Knick, he is giving the third base coach windmill with the arm. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Get them up and down the floor. Whereas Tom Thibodeau really wanted to play a slow down. Jalen Brunson walks it up and takes 8 seconds to get into the offense every time. Style of play. I don't know which one's right, but I know they needed something different than what they had going on, and they're still defending at a decent level. So I'm happy with where the Knicks are right now, and I think realistically, if you're a New York Knicks fan, you just hope for them to get out of the East, and you hope for a whole bunch of Tonya Harding and Jeff Galooly characters to show up in Oklahoma City and take some knees out before the finals, because you don't really have a chance against that team, but get there and see.
Defensive shortcomings that really rose to the surface in the playoffs last year. Brunson, not great, and Cat. Have they found a way to reinvent those guys or at least hide them better than they did last year?
So far, that doesn't mean that a Rick Carlisle-level coach won't pick them apart when it comes to individual matchups, when it comes to the playoffs. But what you've seen thus far is when they have OG Anunoby and Miles Bridges on the floor together, and those two can take away your two best offensive options, you're in great shape. And what they've done effectively this year at the offensive end especially, is they've gotten Karl Anthony Towns back to the five against other centers. Now, what does that mean? That means they can't defend Karl Anthony Towns with a wing. And the biggest thing I think about Cat is that Cat, who is engaged at the offensive end, is going to become Cat, the better defender at the defensive end. Is he still making bad reads on pick and rolls? Yes, he is. Is Jalen Brunson getting any bigger between here and the end of the season? No. They're going to have holes. Yeah. On their defense. But right now, they're scoring at a pace where it might not matter quite as much before they get to see a team like Oklahoma City.
25, 26 games into the season. I don't know if you remember the show we did right before the season. We were talking about the Eastern Conference, and there were like 16 experts who were picking, and it was Cavs and Knicks had like 15 of the votes. I think there was one vote for Detroit. Detroit's going to be dangerous. We'll leave it at that until we meet up again, Candy. Great job today. NBA Cup broadcast is coming up right here on ESPN Las Vegas. I want to go out with a great giveaway. Las Vegas Bowl is here on New Year's Eve. Caller 7 right now. You're going to get tickets to the Las Vegas Bowl. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7. It's Nebraska and Utah. LVBowl.com is where you can get your tickets. Again, Wednesday, New Year's Eve, Allegiant, Nebraska and Utah. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7.